with his feet.
Kirk Cousins, Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, 106.7 The Fan, chatting with the quarterback of the Washington Redskins, coming off of a 4,900-yard, 25-touchdown season with a quarterback rating over 97. Top three quarterback rating in the NFL over the last two seasons. Redskins and Cousins could not get a deal done, and he rejoins us now to continue this lengthy conversation about the last couple of days. Kirk, have you heard from teammates since you didn't get a deal done? Do you feel like you need to address them before the start of training camp about any of this?
Well, I have heard from some of them, and they've been very supportive. They understand the dynamic. You know, all these guys, all my teammates, they have an agent. They understand, you know, the dynamics of the league. And frankly, because so many of us don't have guaranteed deals past the first year of our contracts, we only care about this season because that's all we're promised. Frankly, all we're promised is training camp, and then we've got to make the team. And so because very little is promised long term, we don't really care about whether a contract says, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. We care about right now because that's all that's going to matter, and that's all that's going to end up impacting, you know, what we care about. So it's about this season. It's about winning football games right now. And you know, we're all, a lot of us, I mean, I can go down the list of players all on one-year deals. So I'm really just more the norm than the exception, and we're all in the same boat together, and I think that helps.
Kirk, you've discussed a little bit of this, but I'd like for you to expound, if you wouldn't mind. What would you like fans and folks that cover this team to know that maybe they don't about this entire process? Some things that are in your mind that maybe it would enlighten some fans.
Well, I think, first of all, what rarely ever gets reported is that ultimately this decision is not about anything more importantly than my faith. I mean, my faith is ultimately driving this decision. And do I feel like the Lord is leading me to make this decision or that decision? And where does he give me peace? And I stood at rookie minicamp shortly after being drafted, and the questions I was receiving from media at that time were, it's a dead end. How do you feel about being here? It appears like your career is going to be put on pause now and there really isn't any future for you here in Washington. Can you speak to that? And my answer then is my answer now. I'm going to trust in the Lord's plan for my life. He brought me to D.C. then. He had a plan for me. I didn't know if it was going to be for football or for something else, but he placed me in Washington, D.C. for a reason. I believe that with my whole heart. And as a result, I was content to be patient and allow time to reveal that and to continue to just wait on the Lord. And he has revealed that, and he's done far more in my 5 seasons here in Washington than I ever thought he would. And so here I sit, and people are saying, it appears to be a dead end. After this year, what's going to happen to Kirk? You know, and I would say it's the same answer. I'm trusting the Lord. You know, I know where I'm going to be the next 6 months. That's all that matters, but I'm going to trust the Lord for the future. And just as he led me to D.C. 5 years ago and placed me here, I'm not leaving until he's led me somewhere else. And as he continues to keep me in D.C., I'm going to continue to stay. And so ultimately, that's what drives me. That's what drives this negotiation. That's what drives my and my family's decision making. And that will continue to be the ultimate factor in this whole process.
Kirk, we're in uncharted waters now in a lot of ways. You're the first quarterback to ever play on two franchise tags. But also, in this situation, last year you had made the team an offer it didn't want to accept. This year they make you an offer you didn't want to accept. Do you worry about extra scrutiny from fans, from the media, extra pressure, that first pick, the first game that you need to win late in the season that you don't play well in because you were offered $22 million and didn't take it?
Well, first of all, I think maybe there's a little less scrutiny because if I had taken the long-term deal and thrown a pick, I think I would have upset a lot of people who felt like they put this massive investment into me and now I'm not providing a return. I think if I don't play perfectly and I'm only on a one-year deal, it takes a lot of pressure off everybody involved to not have to be perfect. I also think that it's the exact same situation as last year. It's just round two. So I don't know how it could be any different than last year. Was there some pressure, some scrutiny? Sure. But welcome to the NFL. Welcome to being a starting quarterback in this league. So I see it as the same situation as last year. Not to mention the fact that, as I said, 8 to 9 out of 10 players in this league are on one-year deals. I'm not the exception. I'm the norm. And we've got to win a whole bunch of games with a whole bunch of guys who are on one-year deals. I mean, Ty Nsekhe, D'Angelo Hall, Chris Thompson, Will Compton, Terrell Pryor, Jameson Crowder, Trent Murphy. I mean, I can go on and on and on with key guys that we're depending on who are essentially on one-year deals. So, yes, I'm on a one-year deal. But welcome to the NFL. So are most all of us. And, frankly, that's probably what makes it a great league because we do feel the need to play at our best at all times. We never take it on easy street. We feel a need to prove ourselves at all times, and so you get the best out of us. But let it be known, this is the norm, not the exception.
Kirk, I know you see the some of the contracts and the dollar figures that some NBA stars are signing. I know you don't begrudge people for going out and getting what they're worth, but I know you said you're on a one-year deal and that's not unique, but a couple franchise tags hasn't happened. Did you feel like you were maybe in a unique position to try to change some of the paradigms in terms of guaranteed money so you guys could start to approach what some NBA stars have been able to do?
Well, it is apples to oranges because it's completely different leagues and completely different bargaining agreements. And so it's not really a fair comparison and different revenue streams and agreements. But the fact of the matter is, I think we all as players would love to see more guarantees, a greater assuredness of when we sign a contract, we know what's going to be there for us and what's on the other end of the deal. I believe coaches' contracts are fully guaranteed. And I believe that a lot of front office people's contracts are fully guaranteed for however long they are. Not that they're 6-7 years, but for whatever length they are, that they're guaranteed. And so that's certainly something that players would like to see. Whether or not it could ever get done, I don't know. But, you know, we would never find out if a player doesn't try. But it's going to come down to how I play. It's going to come down to how anybody plays. If I don't play well this season, it won't matter. So I've got to focus on winning football games. That's what matters to me. And we'll go from there. But I want it to be known that I'm going to give everything I have to bring success to this team this year. And I'm committed to the organization, to my teammates, to this great fan base, to do everything in my power to bring forth a winning season and to give our fans something they can be proud of. And if we can build that, you know, I continue to say, why would I want to look elsewhere?
Do you feel, going back to that idea of wanting more guaranteed money for players, like you're in a position to be something of a figure that can change the way things are done a little bit? No one's ever been in the position at the position you play that you're in now.
Well, I'm in a position right now to go play football. You know, I have to play well for any of that to happen. So I guess it's a better question to ask in February when the season's over based on how I played. But let's go win football games. That's where my focus has to be. And then in the offseason, we can deal with the other stuff. But in order to get there, it's got to be all about football right now, and that's where my focus is.
Well, let's go to that football element of things. I think people may have underrated how involved and intricate Sean McVay's role was here for the last couple seasons for the Redskins and how you guys thrive together. Now it's a slightly different situation. So that may be an obstacle that maybe people aren't really recognizing. There's some unfamiliarity despite the fact that you know Jay Gruden. It's going to be a little bit different. What's the offense going to look like? How comfortable are you going to be in it? What are folks not aware of necessarily with the loss of Sean?
Well, Sean McVay had a big influence on me, was a key to our success, had a great relationship with him. That being said, make no mistake, Jay Gruden, I do feel like I owe him my career. And ultimately, his football knowledge, his system, his coaching is why I am where I am. And I wouldn't say that about every coach in the NFL in terms of my confidence level and their ability to help me succeed. And I'm lucky, really, because I had no control over it. I'm lucky to be working with a guy like Jay Gruden. And so in OTAs, these 9-week offseason program, he was the one calling the plays. He was the one in the role that Sean had in previous years. And so I was able to work with him in a different way the last 9 weeks in this offseason program. And it was a very good thing. I really enjoyed it. And I came to respect him even more and see his knowledge and his understanding of the game. And so I'm excited for that to continue and feel good about that dynamic and what he offers.
You haven't worked as closely with Jay as you did, though, with Sean, I wouldn't think, because he was with you every day last year. Is that something this season that you think needs to build is your relationship with him? What is that like now?
No, I don't think so. I think we have a good relationship, and he stepped into that role, you know, that Sean was in for the entire offseason program. So we've already been working in that way, and, if anything, it just grew. I just came to a better understanding of how good of a teacher he is and how well he knows this game and how well he can make the complex very simple. And so, he's an asset for the Redskins, the way I view it, and look forward to going to work with him.
Kirk Cousins here with us on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fam. Let's play out a long-term scenario here. What do you hope happens? What's your best case kind of scenario here for not only this season but beyond, Kirk?
Well, the ball's in my court during the season, and I really do believe that then the ball goes to not only the Redskins but any other team if the Redskins choose not to, tag me or do a deal and before free agency, then any other team. It becomes then their call to decide if they want me. And so I have to play football as well as I can between now and the end of the season and help this team win games, and that's my job. So my best scenario is we do a lot of winning, and hopefully it's all the way to the top. But the goal is to win as much as we can, go as far as we can, have a great experience doing it, have a lot of fun. And then when the season's over, let the teams decide what they want to decide and put the ball in their court. But obviously the better I play, I think the easier of a decision it becomes for the Redskins, the easier of a decision it becomes for other teams. So that's why it's all about these games. It's all about getting back to training camp and getting this offense and this team going in the right direction. And I feel pretty good about that. I love our locker room, love the guys we have, what we were building this offseason. So it's a competitive league, but we feel good. And if we can get the job done this fall, then I think my ideal scenario is going to be able to play itself out just as I would want.
All right, other than winning, give me a few boxes you want to check then, Kirk, before now and the end of the season that would lead to post-Super Bowl January, Cousins and the Redskins getting a deal done. So you had a successful year and you won, and what else?
Well, I think it is all about winning. I think that when you win, you know, that is the goal, and it requires a multitude of things. But, you know, I think I want to feel good. I want to enjoy the process. I want to, you know, feel good about our team, the direction we're going, the guys we're going to be bringing back. You know, there's a lot of guys who have a chance to do an extension between now and the end of the season, before the end of the season. You know, they're not in a deadline, so they can do an extension. And so it'd be great to see some of these great pieces that we have get re-signed and get locked in. So there's a lot of things where to just see greater stability, to see a greater you know, level of where this thing is going. But again, you know, I got to play well. You know, if I don't play well, no one's going to want me back anyway. So that's really all that matters. That's my focus right now.
Kirk, speaking of playing well, the season ended in a way you guys didn't want last year. That frustrating game against the Giants, even to the point that Bruce Allen months later referenced it in public statements. Do you believe had that game ended differently, and not with the interception or whatever else, do you think a deal would have gotten done and the Redskins would have been more competitive in terms of offers?
I don't know. I guess that's a question for the Redskins, but I'd have a hard time believing that one poor decision, one poor throw could impact something that big. I can understand the emotion behind it and the frustration with it. I felt the same things, but I'd like to think that one pass doesn't determine an entire future of a position like your starting quarterback.
Yeah, I would like to as well. Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. All right, let's get into a couple of things to hit on here that I think people could say, and we always try to answer, but you're on the phone and you can do it. We'll have people call up and they'll say that you're out to basically be the highest paid player in the league, or that you need to be paid more than Andrew Luck, or that this comes down to money and, you know, they offered 22 and you wanted more. I wonder, is there a number they could have hit if the Redskins came to you with X contract where you absolutely would have signed this offseason?
I think that's the conversation we had all offseason long was, is there a number that suddenly makes you feel at peace? And to be honest, if it had been about money, then yeah, there would have been a number and my agent would have sent an offer that was really high and we would have then done it. And the fact of the matter is that there probably wasn't a number, because at the end of the day, it wasn't about money. It was about, you know, being in the right place, in the right situation that's best for us long-term beyond just money. And so, again, money's not what runs my life. That's not the foundation of my life. And while money certainly helps and it helps make life more comfortable and more convenient, that really is all that it does, is comfort and convenience. And comfort and convenience is not what my life is built on. That's not what I want to be about. When it's all said and done, I don't want to be a guy who lived for comfort and convenience. So does money help? Sure, I'll be the first one to share that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't help enough to make my whole life be run by it. And if it was the case, then yes, we would have sent a counter offer that was extremely high and try to get something done. But the fact of the matter is that it's not really about the money. And so, you know, we were content being able to play this year out on a one-year deal.
Contract 101, teach us here in the classroom. What matters and what doesn't? I mean, whether it's your contract or others, you probably always hear media members or fans talking about contracts. What are the numbers that don't matter? What are the things that are significant? I'm curious from the player perspective and a guy as plugged in as you on that.
Well, every player is different as to what they're looking for, what they value. But what seems to be reported when I watch SportsCenter and see something scroll across the screen, it seems to always be the average per year and the total contract number. And I can understand in other leagues why that makes sense. In the NFL, I just don't think that's what the contract is really ever about. Average per year and total contract number don't matter if the contract isn't guaranteed. So I think what matters more is what are you actually being guaranteed when you sign the contract? What percentage of the salary cap are you actually using up? In other words, what are you commanding such that they don't have room to go get other players? And then finally, how long is the contract? How long are you committed? I think those are the factors that actually matter. If a deal ever does get done and you see a deal of mine get done long term, those will be the things that will matter.
Kirk, what could the Redskins and then maybe what could your side have done differently throughout this process? I'm going all the way back to when you were first named the starter a couple of years ago to have arrived at a longer term deal instead of this kind of year to year fluctuation.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't know all the conversations that took place back 2015, early in the process. And again, I fully understand the dilemma. I mean, I did not play well at a high level that was worthy of another contract until the end of 2015. So the timing put the team in a tough position. I fully understand that. And so that's where I'm at peace. I'm not upset with them. I understand where they're coming from. Certainly, you know, if an offer had been made really early in 2015 when I was struggling, you know, it would have been hard for me to pass up. I would have had to have taken it because I wouldn't have known what's coming down the road. But it also would have been hard for the Redskins to offer that. And had they offered it and I accepted it, there probably would have been a lot of people pretty mad at the Redskins for doing that. And so it's tough because in this league, in order to be successful, you can't evaluate on production. You have to evaluate on potential. You have to look and say, what's the potential of this guy? We have to ignore his production. What is his potential? And that's a challenge, and it's hard to predict the future and know what a guy's potential is going to be, but that's really where you have to be able to evaluate, because if you just evaluate on production, you know, then you end up having to overpay and things like that.
Let me go back to the percentage of the cap thing for a second that you mentioned. The longer you go without a deal, though, just because of the way the league works, contracts coming for Stafford, Carr just got paid, the more money it's going to take to get a deal done and probably the larger percentage of the cap. And it sounds like you're understanding that it makes it harder then to surround you with talent. So how do you kind of weigh all that?
Well, I think it would actually be the same or less percentage of the cap, because the cap is going to continue to grow. And in fact, these tag numbers that are set right now, if the league grows faster than is expected, those tag numbers would actually take a smaller percentage of the cap than is currently projected. And so league growth actually can frame this whole discussion quite a bit as well. And as a result, I think that you know, we just need to see where we're at and where the cap is and what percentage of the cap is next year. And that's really all that matters. If the number grows, but the league grows even more, it's actually a smaller percentage of the cap. And as a result, it's actually more of a bargain. So I think, you know, we all want to see the league grow, and that could be good for everybody.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. I am of the belief that there's no chance you get tagged. You know, I know that Bruce Allen and the Redskins keep talking about that, a third tag at $34 million. I just think that's insane, and I think a lot of what's happened over the last 2 years that they've done is insane, so maybe it is a possibility. Do you really think there's any chance they would tag you again? That seems crazy.
I think there's too many variables to know. Again, if the league grows a great deal, then while that number seems high right now, maybe it isn't as high if the salary cap grows in a much greater level than we expect. You know, if I play well enough, hopefully I do, hopefully we do as a team, I think we'd all be pretty happy. I think I'll put it this way. If I'm getting tagged a third time, that means this season went really, really well, and that's probably a beautiful thing. So in a sense, I think maybe we all want that scenario just because of what it would mean for this season up ahead.
Kirk, football-wise, what are the challenges there? You mentioned a lot of guys on one-year deals. A couple thousand-yard receivers are no longer here. Some new guys will be stepping into that role. How difficult is that to sort of incorporate a semi-new idea with Jay Gruden calling the plays again and some of these new receivers? How quickly and how difficult is that to kind of get everyone on the same page?
Well, I do feel a fair amount of stability when you talk about our locker room leaders. You know, guys like Will Compton and Trent Williams and Josh Norman. I mean, these guys now have been here. We've built relationships together. We understand the kind of culture we want as a team. We have a great amount of, you know, cohesion and leadership from our offensive line. They have a great group, great culture. Our running back room is very experienced. I've counted on them now for a long time. You know, while our receivers are newer, we still have Jamison Crowder. We still have a guy in Terrell Pryor who's caught 1,000 yards with another team. I'm thrilled to see what Josh Doctson is going to be able to do this season. And then our tight end group is so experienced with Niles and Jordan and Vernon and Derek Carrier, and the list goes on. So while it is always moving and there's always changes, as far as the guys in the locker room, I feel really good. I feel like we have a really good group of not only athletes but people, and I think we're going to be in a good place moving forward. So I do like the stability from that standpoint.
All right, couple of broad brush things on the way out here. First, and we'll give you a chance for kind of a final thought, but the idea, just the reoccurring theme for the most part, just so you know when people call in now, is it's a one-year deal and maybe a rental, and you got one foot out the door, and maybe you end up in San Francisco or L.A. with one of your past coordinators. So I want you to react to that, if you would.
Yeah, that's just not true. When the season ends, the Redskins will have 2 months to exclusively negotiate with me. No other team can talk to me. So that affords us a great opportunity to get something done. Then you have one of two tags that can be used if nothing gets done, such that then the ball's in their court to do that. If they still choose not to do that, now I still go to free agency with the opportunity that there's a very good chance the Redskins are the best option for me. And so while it may look like I'm shopping around, I may very well end up right back in Washington, D.C. And so I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit to talk through all that. But the point is that there's a lot of things that have to happen once the season ends that do not mean I'm just leaving. And while there's a deadline in July, there really isn't. You know, after this season, there's going to be a whole lot that can be discussed and a lot of time to process it. So not to mention, as I said earlier, at the end of the day, I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to look for peace and see what the right decision is. And I'm staying in Washington, D.C. until the Lord tells me otherwise. The last thing I want to do is to go create a path for my own, ignore the Lord's plan for my life. The Lord's plan for my life has been too good to ignore him. And so I'm going to listen to him. And if he has me in Washington, that's where I'm going to be. And so I'm going to submit to him as I have for my entire life and let him lead. And if he leads back to Washington, I'm back. No questions asked.
Two guys I want to ask you about their involvement. Let's go one and then the other real quick. The first is Doug Williams, who became the GM partway through your negotiation. Did he become more involved? Did you have conversations? Did he negotiate with you? How involved was he?
My agent's the one having the discussion with the team, and I understand those discussions to be with Eric Schaefer, so I don't believe Doug was involved a whole lot. You know, I'm excited for Doug and his role. I have utmost respect for him. I mean, that's a man who's seen a lot of adversity and overcome it and just continues to be an example of someone who tough times don't last, but tough people do. And so it's good to have people in your organization who you could label as tough people, and he's certainly one of them. And, again, another good asset to the organization.
And then Dan Snyder.
Dan's been really positive. Again, I don't believe he was involved. You know, I think he allows the people he's hired to do their job. But Dan's been very positive. My relationship with him has been great all off season. You know, he's continued to just reach out and be a resource. And he's a straight shooter. He's an open communicator. And I have nothing but good things to say about him. And he's one of the biggest reasons I want to win. You know, I want to see him win. Nobody wants to win more than him. Nobody rides high after win more than him. I mean, you saw him during the Packers game when jump around is being played and he's dancing in his box. I mean, that is who Dan is. He's
dancing Dan.
He's a fun guy. He's got a lot of personality. He's got a lot of dynamic to him. He's extremely passionate. I love people with passion. And so I just want to win for him and give him something that he could remember the rest of his life and be thrilled about. So, you know, among many other reasons to win, I would love to put a smile on Mr. Snyder's face.
Kirk, we're going to have you on all season long. We look forward to that greatly, obviously, but we won't be talking for a little while. A lot of ears in D.C. are listening right now, including a lot of fans. Final thoughts from you. What message would you like to send to the fans of the Washington Redskins?
I think what's key to understand is that we as players, we just don't look 4 or 5 years down the road. I understand as a fan, it's fun to think about where's the team headed and what's the potential. But when I go to show up in training camp, I'm focused on that night's meeting and the following morning's practice. And my mind just doesn't get way down the road. And so to me, to be on a 1 year deal feels plenty long, if you will. And so, you know, I'm given everything I have to be successful and to help this team win this year. And I'm committed to the team and to the guys in the locker room and to those fans that are paying hard earned money to watch us play. And so I'm going to do everything I can, everything in my power to help create a winning season and a winning culture and to represent the Redskins with class and with excellence. And I mean, there's just no way around it. That's what I'm going to be about from now until the end of the season. And so I want to make that very clear. And in addition, I do look forward to coming on the show. I think it's been a great platform to us to have an open conversation, for me to just speak from my heart, to not have to have it be a press conference, but just a relaxed conversation to share where I'm coming from. Not every time I come on the show, it's happy. And, you know, we've had some tough calls after some tough losses, but I think it's important to communicate well with the fans, to give them an understanding of where I'm coming from. And hopefully inform them better so they can better cheer us on and support us. So I think the show has been a great place to do that. You guys have done a great job handling it. So I look forward to continuing to call in as the season goes on.
Thanks, Kirk.
We appreciate
all the time today. We appreciate a few minutes. Thanks, and we will catch up with you soon.
Look forward to it, bud.
Okay, guys. Thank you. We'll see you.
Kirk Cousins, starting quarterback, Washington Redskins on Grant and Danny. For these last 45 minutes talking about a contract that did not get done. So there's a lot of people reacting, as you'd imagine, on social media. Believe Grant and Danny might be trending in Washington, D.C.
We may be.
The old hashtag. You can throw that one out there if you'd like. Let's get your calls next. Fill up the phones. We'll get your thoughts on what Kirk just said. We've got a lot to make sense of at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You're listening to The Fan.